exceptions. We'll be careful, Han promised. Come on, Lando.
They headed back the way they'd come.
So, what did we forget to do back at the Falcon?
Lando asked quietly as they reached the trees.
Nothing, Han murmured back. I just thought it'd be a good time to check out Card's storage sheds, particularly the one that was supposed to have a prisoner in it.
They went about 5 meters into the forest, then changed direction to circle the compound. A quarter of the way around the circle, they found a likely-looking group of small buildings.
Look for a door with a lock,
Lando suggested as they came out among the sheds.
Either permanent or temporary.
Right.
Han peered through the darkness.
That one, over there. The one with two doors?
Could be,
Lando agreed.
Let's take a look.
The leftmost of the two doors did indeed have a lock. Or rather, it had a lock.
It's been shot off,
Lando said, poking at it with a finger.
Strange.
Maybe the prisoner had friends,
Han suggested, glancing around. There was no one else in sight.
Let's go inside.
They slid the door open and went in, closing it behind them before turning on the light. The shed was less than half full, with most of the boxes piled against the right-hand wall. The exceptions to that rule... Han stepped over for a closer look.
Well, well,
he murmured, gazing at the removed power outlet plate and the wires poking through the gap.
Someone's been busy over here.
Someone's been even busier over here,
Lando commented from behind him.
Come have a look.
Lando was crouched down beside the door, peering into the inside of the door lock mechanism. Like the outside, half of its covering plate had been blasted off.
That must have been one beaut of a shot,
Han frowned, coming over.
It wasn't a single shot, Lando said, shaking his head. The stuff in between is mostly intact.
He pushed back the cover a little, poking at the electronics inside with his fingers.
Looks like a mysterious prisoner was tampering with the equipment.
I wonder how he got it open.
Han glanced back at the removed power plate.
I'm gonna take a look next door,
he told Lando, stepping back to the entrance and tapping the release. The door didn't open.
Uh-oh,
he muttered, trying again.
Wait a second, I see the problem,
Lando said, fiddling with something behind the plate.
There's a power supply been half spliced into the works.
Abruptly, the door slid open.
Back in a second,
Han told him, and slipped outside. The shed's right-hand room wasn't much different from the other one, except for one thing. In the center, in a space that had very obviously been cleared for the purpose, lay an open droid restraint collar. Han frowned down at it. The collar hadn't been properly put away, or even closed again. Hardly the way someone in an organization like Cards would be expected to take care of company equipment. Roughly in the center of the collar's open jaws were three faint marks on the floor. Skid marks, he decided, formed by the restrained droid's attempts to move or get free. Behind him, the door whispered open. Han spun around, blaster in hand.
You seem to have gotten lost,
Card said calmly. His eyes flickered around the room.
And to have lost General Calrissian along the way.
Han lowered the blaster.
You need to tell your people to put their toys away when they're done,
he said, nodding his head at the abandoned restraint collar.
You were holding a droid prisoner, too?
Card smiled thinly.
I see Gant was talking out of turn again. Amazing, isn't it, how so many expert slicers know everything about computers and droids, and yet don't know when to keep their mouths shut.
It's also amazing how so many expert smugglers don't know when to leave a messy deal alone,
Han shot back.
So what's your Grand Admiral got you doing? Formal slaving? Or just random kidnappings?
Card's eyes flashed.
I don't deal in slaves, Solo. Slaves or kidnapping. Never.
What was this one, then? An accident?
I didn't ask for him to come into my life,
Card countered.
Nor did I especially want him there.
Han snorted.
You're stretching, Card. What did he do? Drop in out of the sky on top of you?
As a matter of fact, that's very nearly the way it happened,
Card said stiffly.
Oh, well, that's a good reason to lock someone up, Hans said sardonically. Who was he?
That information's not for sale.
Maybe we don't need to buy it,
Lando said from behind him. Card turned.
Ah,
he said as Lando stepped past him into the room.
There you are, exploring the other half of the shed, were you?
Yeah, we don't stay lost very long,
Han assured him.
What'd you find, Lando?
This.
Lando held up a tiny red cylinder with a pair of wires coming out of each end.
It's a micro power supply. The kind used for low-draw applications. Our prisoner wired it into the door lock control after the power lines had been burned away. That's how he got out.
He moved it a little closer.
The manufacturer's logo is small but readable. Recognize it?
Han squinted at it. The script was alien, but it seemed vaguely familiar.
I've seen it before, but I don't remember where.
You saw it during the war,
Lando told him, his gaze steady on Card.
It's the logo of the Sipa Habadit.
Han stared at the tiny cylinder, a strange chill running through him. The Sipa Habadit had been one of the Alliance's major suppliers of Micrel equipment, and their specialty had been...
That's a bioelectric power supply?
That's right, Lando said grimly. Just like the kind that would have been in, say, an artificial hand.
Slowly, the muzzle of Han's blaster came up again to point at Card's stomach.
There was a droid in here, he told Lando. The skid marks on the floor look just about right for an R2 unit.
He raised his eyebrows.
Feel free to join the conversation any time, Card.
Card sighed, his face a mixture of annoyance and resignation.
What do you want me to say? That Luke Skywalker was a prisoner here? All right. Consider it said.
Han felt his jaw tighten, and he and Lando had been right here, blissfully unaware.
Where is he now?
He demanded.
I thought Gent would have told you,
Card said darkly.
He escaped in one of my skip-ray blast boats.
His lips twisted.
Crashing it in the process.
He what?
He's all right, Card assured him. Or at least he was a couple of hours ago. The stormtroopers who went to investigate said that both wrecks were deserted.
His eyes seemed to flatten just for a minute.
I hope that means they're working together to make their way out.
You don't sound so sure of that,
Han prompted. The eyes flattened a little more.
Mara Jade was the one who went after him. She has a certain... Well, why mince words? In point of fact, she wants very much to kill him.
Han threw a startled glance at Lando.
Why?
Card shook his head.
I don't know.
For a moment, the room was silent.
How did he get here?
Lando asked.
As I said, purely by accident,
Card said.
No, I take that back. It wasn't an accident for Mara. She led us directly to his crippled starfighter.
How?
Again, I don't know.
He fixed Han with a hard look.
And before you ask, we had nothing to do with the damage to his ship. He'd burned out both hyperdrive motivators, tangling with one of the Empire's Star Destroyers. If we hadn't picked him up, he'd almost certainly be dead by now.
Instead of roaming a forest with someone who still wants him that way,
Han countered.
Yeah, you're a real hero.
The hard look hardened even further.
The Imperials want Skywalker Solo. They want him very badly. If you look carefully, you'll notice that I didn't give him to them.
Because he escaped first.
He escaped because he was in this shed,
Card retorted.
And he was in this shed because I didn't want the Imperials stumbling over him during their unannounced visit.
He paused.
You'll also notice, he added quietly, that I didn't turn the two of you over to them either.
Slowly, Han lowered the blaster. Anything said at the point of a gun was of course suspect, but the fact that Card had indeed not betrayed them to the Imperials was a strong argument in his favor. Or rather, he hadn't betrayed them yet. That could always change.
I want to see Luke's X-Wing,
he told Card.
Certainly, Card said. I'd recommend not going there until tomorrow morning, though. We moved it somewhat farther into the forest than your ship, and there will be predators roaming around it in the darkness.
Han hesitated, then nodded. If Card had something subtle going here, he almost certainly would have already erased or altered the X-Wing's computer log. A few more hours wouldn't make any difference.
All right. So what are we going to do about Luke?
Card shook his head, his gaze not quite focused on Han.
There's nothing we can do for them tonight. Not with Vornskurs roaming the forest and the Grand Admiral still in orbit. Tomorrow, we'll have to discuss it. See what we can come up with.
His focus came back, and with it, a slightly ironic smile.
In the meantime, dinner should be ready by now. If you'll follow me.
The dimly lit holographic art gallery had changed again, this time to a collection of remarkably similar flame-shaped works that seemed to pulsate and alter in form as Pellion moved carefully between the pedestals. He studied them as he walked, wondering where this batch had come from.
"Have you found them, Captain?"
Thrawn asked as Pellion reached the double display circle. He braced himself.
"I'm afraid not, sir. We'd hoped that with the arrival of local nightfall, we'd be able to get some results from the infrared sensors. But they don't seem able to penetrate the tree canopy either."
Thrawn nodded.
"What about that pulse transmission we picked up just after sundown?"
"We were able to confirm that it originated from the approximate location of the crash site,"
Pellion told him.
"But it was too brief for a precise location check. The encrypt on it is a very strange one. Decrypt thinks it might be a type of counterpart coding. They're still working on it."
"They've tried all the known rebellion encrypts, I presume?"
"Yes, sir. As per your orders."
Thrawn nodded thoughtfully.
"It looks like we're at something of a stalemate then, Captain. At least as long as they're in the forest. Have you calculated their likely emergence points?"
"There's really only one practical choice,"
Pellion said, wondering why they were making so much of a fuss over this.
"A town called Hilliard City, on the edge of the forest, and almost directly along their path. It's the only population center anywhere for more than 100 kilometers. With only the one survival pack between them, they almost have to come out there."
"Excellent," Thrawn nodded. "I want you to detail 3 squads of stormtroopers to set up an observation post there. They're to assemble and depart ship immediately."
Pellion blinked.
"Stormtroopers, sir?"
"Stormtroopers,"
Thrawn repeated, turning his gaze to one of the flame sculptures.
"Better add 1/2 biker scout unit, too. And 3 chariot light assault vehicles.
"Yes, sir,"
Pellion said cautiously. Stormtroopers were in critically short supply these days. To waste them like this, on something so utterly unimportant as a smuggler squabble.
"Card lied to us, you see,"
Thrawn continued, as if reading Pellion's mind.
"Whatever that little drama was this afternoon, it was not the common pursuit of a common thief. I'd like to know what, in fact, it was."
"I don't think I follow, sir."
"It's very simple, Captain,"
Thrawn said, in that tone of voice he always seemed to use when explaining the obvious.
"The pilot of the chase vehicle never reported in during the pursuit, nor did anyone from Card's base communicate with him. We know that. We'd have intercepted any such transmissions. No progress reports, no assistance requests, nothing but complete radio silence."
He looked back at Pellion.
"Speculation, Captain."
"Whatever it was,"
Pellion said slowly,
"it was something they didn't want us knowing about. Beyond that..."
He shook his head.
"I don't know, sir. There could be any number of things they wouldn't want outsiders to know about. They are smugglers, after all."
"Agreed."
Thrawn's eyes seemed to glitter.
"But now consider the additional fact that Card refused our invitation to join in the search for Skywalker. And the fact that this afternoon he implied the search was over."
He raised an eyebrow.
"What does that suggest to you, Captain?"
Pellion felt his jaw drop.
You mean that was Skywalker in that skip ray?
An interesting speculation, isn't it? Thrawn agreed. Unlikely, I'll admit, but likely enough to be worth following up on.
Yes, sir.
Pellion glanced at the chrono, did a quick calculation.
Though if we stay here more than another day or two, we may have to move back the Sluice Van attack.
We're not moving Sluice Van, Thrawn said emphatically. Our entire victory campaign against the Rebellion begins there, and I'll not have so complex and far-reaching a schedule altered. Not for Skywalker, not for anyone else. He nodded at the flame statue surrounding them. Sluicy art clearly indicates a biannual cyclic pattern, and I want to hit them at their most sluggish point. We'll leave for our rendezvous with the Inexorable and the cloaking shield test as soon as the troops and vehicles have been dropped. 3 squads of stormtroopers should be adequate to handle Skywalker, if he is indeed here. His eyes bored into Pellion's face. And to handle Card, he added softly. If he turns out to be a traitor. The last bits of dark blue had faded from the tiny gaps in the canopy overhead, leaving nothing but blackness above them. Turning the survival kit's work light to its lowest setting, Mara set it down and sank gratefully to the ground against a large tree bole. Her right ankle, twisted somehow in the skip-ray crash, had started to ache again, and it felt good to get the weight off it. Skywalker was already stretched out a couple of meters on the other side of the worklight, his head pillowed on his tunic, his loyal droid standing at his side. She wondered if he'd guessed about the ankle, dismissed the question as irrelevant. She'd had worse injuries without being slowed down by them.
Reminds me of Endor,
Skywalker said quietly, as Mara arranged her glow rod and blaster in her lap where they'd be accessible.
The forest always sounds so busy at night.
Oh, it's busy, all right, Mara grunted. A lot of the animals here are nocturnal, including the Vornskers.
Strange, he murmured. Card's pet Vornskers seemed wide enough awake in late afternoon.
She looked across at him, mildly surprised he'd noticed that.
Actually, even in the wild, they take small naps around the clock, she said. I call them nocturnal because they do most of their hunting at night.
Skywalker mulled that over for a moment.
Maybe we ought to travel at night then, he suggested. They'll be hunting us either way. At least then we'd be awake and alert while they're on the prowl.
Mara shook her head.
It'd be more trouble than it's worth. We need to be able to see the terrain as far ahead of us as possible if we're going to avoid running into dead ends. Besides, this whole forest is dotted with small clearings,
through which a glow rod beam would show very clearly to an orbiting ship, he conceded. Point. You seem to know a lot about this place.
It wouldn't take more than an observant pilot flying over the forest to see that, she growled.
But he was right, she knew, as she eased back against the rough bark.
Know your territory was the first rule that had been drilled into her, and the first thing she'd done after establishing herself in Card's organization had been to do precisely that. She'd studied the aerial maps of the forest and surrounding territory, had taken long walks in both daylight and at night to familiarize herself with the sights and sounds, had sought out and killed several Vornskers and other predators to learn the fastest ways of taking them down, had even talked one of Card's people into running biotests on a crate load of native plants to find out which were edible and which weren't. Outside the forest, she knew something about the settlers, understood the local politics, and had stashed a small but adequate part of her earnings out where she could get hold of it. More than anyone else in Card's organization, she was equipped to survive outside the confines of his encampment. So why was she trying so hard to get back there? It wasn't for Card's sake. That much she was sure of. All that he'd done for her, her job, her position, her promotions, she'd more than repaid with hard work and good service. She didn't owe him anything, any more than he owed her. Whatever the story was he'd concocted this afternoon to explain the skip-ray chase to Thrawn, it would have been designed to protect his own neck, not hers. And if he saw that the Grand Admiral wasn't buying it, he was at perfect liberty to pull his group off Merkur tonight and disappear down one of the other rat holes he had scattered throughout the galaxy.
except that he wouldn't. He would sit there, sending out search party after search party, and wait for Mara to come out of the forest, even if she never did. Even if by doing so, he overstayed Thrawn's patience. Mara clenched her teeth. The unpleasant image of Card pinned against a cell wall by an interrogation droid dancing in front of her eyes. Because she knew Thrawn, knew the Grand Admiral's tenacity and the limits of his patience both. He would wait and watch, or set someone to do it for him, and follow through on Card's story. And if neither she nor Skywalker ever reappeared from the forest, he would almost certainly jump to the wrong conclusion. At which point he would take Card in for a professional Imperial interrogation, and eventually would find out who the escaping prisoner had been. And then he'd have Card put to death. Across from her, the droid's dome rotated a few degrees, and it gave a quietly insistent gurgle. "I think R2's picked up something," Skywalker said, hiking himself up on his elbows.
"No kidding,"
Mara said. She picked up her glow rod, pointed it at the shadow she'd already seen moving stealthily toward them, and flicked it on. A Vornsker stood framed in the circle of light. Its front claws dug into the ground, its whip tail pointed stiffly back and waving slowly up and down. It paid no attention to the light, but continued moving slowly towards Skywalker. Mara let it get another 2 paces, then shot it neatly through the head. The beast collapsed to the ground, its tail giving one last spasmodic twitch before doing likewise. Mara gave the rest of the area a quick sweep with the glow rod, then flicked it off.
"Awfully good thing we have your droid sensors along," she said sarcastically into the relative darkness.
"Well, I wouldn't have known there was any danger without him," Skywalker came back wryly.
"Thank you."
"Forget it," she grunted. There was a short silence.
"Are Card's pet Vornskers a different species?" Skywalker asked. "Or did he have their tails removed?"
Mara peered across the gloom at him, impressed in spite of herself. Most men staring down a Vornsker's gullet wouldn't have noticed a detail like that.
"The latter," she told him. "They use those tails as whips. Pretty painful. And there's a mild poison in them, too. At first it was just that Card didn't want his people walking around with whip welts all over them. We found out later that removing the tails also kills a lot of their normal hunting aggression."
"They seemed pretty domestic," he agreed. "Even friendly." Only they hadn't been friendly to Skywalker, she remembered. And here, the Vornsker had ignored her and gone directly for him. Coincidence?
"They are," she said aloud. "He's thought occasionally about offering them for sale as guard animals. Never gotten around to exploring the potential market."
"Well, you can tell him I'd be glad to serve as a reference," Skywalker said dryly. "Having looked a Vornsker square in the teeth, I can tell you it's not something the average intruder would like to do twice." Her lip twisted.
"Get used to it," she advised him. "It's a long way to the edge of the forest."
"I know." Skywalker lay back down again. "Fortunately, you seem to be an excellent shot." He fell silent, getting ready to sleep, and probably assuming she was going to do the same.
"Wish away,"
she thought sardonically at him, reaching into her pocket. She pulled out the survival kit's tube of stim pills. A steady stream of the things could ruin one's health in short order, but going to sleep 5 meters away from an enemy would ruin it a lot faster. She paused, tube in hand, and frowned at Skywalker. At his closed eyes and calm, apparently totally unworried face. Which seemed strange, because if anyone had ever had reason to be worried, it was he. Stripped of all his vaunted Jedi powers by a planetful of Isla Miri, trapped in a forest on a world whose name and location he didn't even know, with her, the Imperials, and the Vornskers lining up for the privilege of killing him, he should by rights be wide-eyed with pumping adrenaline by now. Maybe he was just faking it, hoping she would lower her guard. It was probably something she would try under reverse circumstances. But then maybe there was more to him than met the eye. More than just a family name, a political position, and a bag of Jedi tricks. Her mouth tightened, and she ran her fingers along the side of the lightsaber hanging from her belt. Yes, of course there was more there.
whatever had happened at the end, at that terrible, confused, life-destroying end. It hadn't been his Jedi tricks that had saved him. It had been something else. Something she would make sure to find out from him before his own end came. She thumbed a stim pill from the tube and swallowed it, a fresh determination surging through her as she did so. No, the Bornskers weren't going to get Luke Skywalker, and neither were the Imperials. When the time came, she would kill him herself. It was her right, and her privilege, and her duty. Shifting to a more comfortable position against her tree, she settled in to wait out the night. The nighttime sounds of the forest came faintly from the distance, mixed in with the faint sounds of civilization from the building at his back. Card sipped at his cup, gazing into the darkness, feeling fatigue tugging at him as he'd seldom felt it before. In a single day, his whole life had just been turned over. Beside him, Drang raised his head and turned it to the right. "Company?" Card asked him, looking in that direction. A shadowy figure, hardly visible in the starlight, was moving toward him. "Card?" Ave's voice called softly.
"Over here," Card told him. "Go get a chair and join me."
"This is okay," Ave said, coming over beside him and sitting down cross-legged on the ground. "I've got to get back to Central pretty soon anyway."
"The mystery message?"
"Yeah. What in the worlds was Mara thinking of?"
"I don't know," Card admitted. "Something clever, though."
"Probably," Aves conceded. "I just hope we're going to be clever enough to decrypt it."
Card nodded.
"Did Solo and Calrissian get bedded down all right?"
"They went back to their ship," Aves said, his voice scowling. "I don't think they trust us."
"Under the circumstances, you can hardly blame them."
Card reached down to scratch Drang's head.
"Maybe pulling Skywalker's computer logs tomorrow morning will help convince them we're on their side."
"Yeah? Are we?"
Card pursed his lips.
"We don't really have a choice anymore, Aves. There are guests."
Aves umphed. "The Grand Admiral isn't going to be happy."
Card shrugged.
"There are guests," he repeated.
In the darkness, he sensed Aves shrug back. He understood. Aves did. Understood the requirements and duties of a host. Unlike Mara, who wanted him to send a Millennium Falcon away.
He wished now that he'd listened to her. Wished it very much indeed. "I'll want you to organize a search party for tomorrow morning," he told Aves. "Probably futile, all things considered. But it has to be tried."
"Right. Do we defer to the Imperials in that regard?"
Card grimaced to himself.
"I doubt if they'll be doing any more searching. That ship that sneaked out from the Star Destroyer an hour ago looks suspiciously like a stripped-down assault shuttle. My guess is that they'll set up in Hilliard City and wait for Mara and Skywalker to come to them."
"Sounds reasonable," Abe said. "What if we don't get to them first?"
"We'll just have to take them away from the stormtroopers, I suppose. Think you can put a team together for the purpose?"
Abe snorted gently.
"Easier done than said. I've sat in on a couple of conversations since you made the announcement, and I can tell you that feelings in camp are running pretty strong. Hero of the rebellion and all that aside, a bunch of our people figure they owe Skywalker big for getting them out of permanent hock to Jabba the Hutt."
"I know," Card said grimly. "And all that warm enthusiasm could be a problem. Because if we can't get Skywalker free from the Imperials, well, we can't let them have him alive."
There was a long silence from the shadow beside him.
"I see,"
Abe said at last, very quietly.
"It probably won't make any difference, you know, in what Thrawn suspects."
"Suspicion is better than unequivocal proof,"
Card reminded him.
"And if we can't intercept them while they're still in the forest, it may be the best we're going to get."
Abe shook his head.
"I don't like it."
"Neither do I. but we need to be prepared for every eventuality.
Understood.
For another moment, Abe sat there in silence. Then, with a grunted sigh, he stood up.
I'd better get back, see if Gent's made any progress on Mara's message.
And after that, you'd better hit the sack,
Card told him.
Tomorrow's going to be a busy day.
Right. Good night.
Abe's left, and once